Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Windows closing. I keep hearing that. But I think what happens is that sometimes it closes with the current players that you have, but it doesn't mean that it closes overall. And I'm not saying that this is the time period, but we have young players coming that we really like, and we also have ownership that's very kind to us with our expenditures on payroll. So I think if you're in a position where some guys, what you're ideally looking to do is some players age, and they get older. Some of their skills diminish. It's just a fact. Not all, and some at different paces and all, but what you need to be doing is they have young players coming in the meantime. And we think we have some really good young players coming within the system.
The voice of Dave Dombrowski before the Phillies season ended. By the way, Dombrowski going to speak coming up Tuesday at 11. We'll carry that on the midday show. But that was interesting, Hugh, him discussing the idea that maybe the window can close on certain players, but doesn't mean the Phillies' window has to close.
Yeah, he's talking about the name on the front of the jersey. He's talking about that and guys in the pipeline that could potentially come up and replace different individuals. Because that's what we're talking about. When we talk about this run, a lot of the conversation we had was talking about whether or not the window was closing or this feels like it's the year, and it feels like it's the year because you want to get it done now. And unfortunately for us, the fact that they didn't go as far as we wanted them to go, that's the reality of it. Everybody's going to be a year older.
Yep.
And skills tend to diminish. And you talk about the intangibles of potentially being hurt and having guys hurt for an extended period of time. So, yeah, all of that comes into play.
Well, the Phillies are going to have a lot of players next year that are in their 30s. I mean, a lot. And the reality is most times when you have that many players in their 30s, some decline, some get hurt. It's very rare they're going to have all of them play all the games that play their best. That's the way the nature of the game goes. So they're going to have to upgrade and add around those guys. 215-592-9494. Do you want Topper back? Is it the right decision for the Phillies to bring Topper back? It sounds like and feels like they are going to bring Topper back. He'll be part of, at least the way it's framed to us, he'll be part of that press conference too. Tuesday with Dave Dombrowski. Do you agree with the decision? And of course, the Eagles. We got a 9.5-point favorite on Sunday. It is weird to say that about the way the Eagles team we've watched so far, that they're 9.5-point favorites on Sunday. We'll hit you with a parlay for the game coming up. I'm going to guess right now, before we work through it, we're not going to put Eagles -9.5 as part of our parlay. Feels a little rich for everyone's blood in here. A little bit. Especially because
I'm not going near that.
You won't even guarantee a win.
Well, it's one of those things, to your point, when you were talking about how everybody's mostly covered for the most part. So, yeah.
The big underdogs?
Yeah, the big underdogs. So, yeah, no. I think the Eagles are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be the way that we think it's going to be. It's not going to be a comfortable one.
So, I got the number on it. So, through 5 weeks of the season, underdogs of 6 or more points, right? So, teams that should lose are 11-8 straight up. So, they've won 11 out of 19, these big underdogs. Mm-hmm. And they've covered, you ready for this? 16 out of the 19 games. So they've all been close, basically. Either they've just won the game, these underdogs, or they've made the game close. I really hope we don't have a close game on Sunday. If the Eagles are only up a touchdown in the fourth quarter, I mean, come on. This Watson hasn't thrown for 200 yards in a single game this season. The Browns haven't scored more than 18 points in a game. Hugh, this should be the week they get. This is the get right week. It's gotta
be. I hear you. But it just feels like something weird is going to happen in this game. I think they win. I will say that. Guarantee a win? No, I'm not going to do that. But I think they win. It just feels like something weird is going to happen, man. It feels like we're going to – I can see people's face in the vet like, what the deuce? What the deuce? I can see that. I meant the link.
Oh.
I was having flashbacks.
Yeah, you were. You were
flashbacks.
When they were mad at Hugh.
What the deuce flashbacks.
You were thinking of the 98 Eagles, the way people reacted to you guys.
Yeah,
basically. The deuce every time, every game. All right, let's go to Rob at Delco. What's up, Rob?
Joe, Hugh, Kyle, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey, man. Rob.
Listen, I'm going to rip some beloved people in Philadelphia, but I got a quick Eagles point. If they lose on Sunday, is Sirianni back? I don't care if it's a close game or if the Eagles lose by 10. and it's like considered a blowout. Hugh and Joe, if they lose on Sunday, is he back?
Yeah. You mean for the South? Yeah, I think so.
If it was me, his key card wouldn't work on Monday morning. That's the way I am.
Joe's reactionary.
His key card won't work at the end of the fourth quarter as time's on the out. He just get his quarter right to his car and say, look, we'll ship you your stuff. You know what I mean? Hugh, I'm with you. I'm worried on Sunday. I think they're going to lose on Sunday, Joe. And I think this town is going to go ballistic. Okay?
I don't know if we can handle an Eagles loss after the Phillies thing.
I'm worried about playing the Giants with Daniel Jones with this defense, Joe. I'm just telling you, with this defense, nobody's a sure thing.
All right, let's get on the record, Rob. You could be part of this. Hugh, the next four games are Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars. How many do they win? Browns, Giants.
I'm going to say 3-1.
Kyle, next four, Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars.
Yeah, I'll say 3-1 conservatively.
I'm going to say 2-2, Rob. How many are they going to win?
Joe, how many of those games are home games?
Two. This one and then the Jaguars game.
Two. Okay.
I think they're going to go 2-2.
Okay, they're going to win two. Now I'm going to rip some beloved, and I don't think he'll be back. I think they'll fire him if they lose on Sunday. Now, I'm going to come after Scott Fransky, okay? We all love Scott Fransky. I love him. We got the best guys on TV. We got the best guys on the radio.
What is Scott doing?
Come on. Yeah, I don't understand. I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah, listen, because I'm getting calls from all my buddies. Oh, Herb is blowing it up on the radio. He's killing it. So I need a Herb type of phone call, okay, Joe? So
you want to play with me?
Damn right I do, Herb. Let's go. Listen, didn't he make a comment, like, basically absolving Rob Thompson? Like, it's ultimately the players, right? Like, the players that are on the field have to get it done, right?
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, that's
no,
true.
No, but here's where I'm going with this. So what the hell, Rob Thompson here for life then? Like, does it absolve coaches in general? Like, listen, I hope Rob Thompson demands to keep the hitting coach and has a Doug Peterson moment, and we can get rid of him out the door too. Okay? Because it looks like he's going to have a press conference after Dombrowski.
Yes.
But I hope he demands, like Doug did, I'm not getting rid of this guy. I'm not getting rid of that guy. And they get him out the door too. Because I'm done with Topper, okay? So I disagree with Fransky. He made some abysmal. And we're going backwards, Joe. The message is not reaching these guys. We're going backwards. I'm done with Topper. I'm done with Boehm. I'm done with Martian Rojas in center. Or I'm done with Martian and, you know, Willie Mays Hayes in left field. You know what I mean? Listen, I want Soto, okay? And if that means blowing away his value is an all-time high now, because we all love Castellanos. Joe, when it came down to it, his true colors came in that last at bat. It just diminished everything for me. His value's an all-time high now. Wouldn't you say?
Castellanos probably has more value now with only 2 years left on the deal and ending the season well than he did a year ago. If they want to trade Castellanos, they could probably pull it off.
Hugh, my three words are blow it up.
Blow it
I'm
up.
I'm done. Blow it up.
You're not the only one that feels that way. You're not the only one that feels that way.
Rob, good phone, Rob.
Bye-bye-bye.
Good phone call, buddy. We appreciate it. All right.
He said bye-bye-bye-bye.
All right, so a few years ago, it was 5 going on 6 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, we were able to be loud enough and to be persistent enough as a fan base to get the Phillies to write the check to Bryce Harper. Can we do it again for Soto? Can we drum up enough people that say we need Juan Soto for John Middleton to hand him that blank check in free agency?
No salary cap in baseball,
there
right?
There is none. Now, there's a luxury tax, and if you go to a certain level, you have to pay. You know, you get taxed on the money you're spending anyway. But no, there's no limit to what you can spend.
I think it could probably happen.
That number starts with what? A 6? Starts with a 5, goes to a 6?
He's going to be the closest to a billion that we've seen, right?
So Ohtani got 700 last year, but a lot of that was deferred. Remember they did that whole weird thing where
he bought somebody's wife a car and all that good stuff. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Soto's probably not going to be that way. It's going to have to be more straightforward. And
give me my money.
He's going to want his money.
Give me my money.
He's been it's almost like when Harper was a free agent, right? He got to the big leagues at 19, so he got to free agency at 25. It's all for this moment. It wouldn't solve everything, but boy, Juan Soto in this lineup would fix a lot of things. I mean, that guy is an incredible player.
It would get It would keep butts in seats. I'll say that. It would definitely keep butts in seats, and it would have people excited about the direction that the team is going.
Yeah, and you know what? When in doubt, just spend more money to fix problems. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hugh Douglas, if you guarantee an Eagles victory this Sunday, I will point out that Spike from Bristol said you were wrong. How's that?
Oh, that was so great. Spike called him out.
She did. She took you to the woodshed, Hugh.
Yeah, Spike won, Hugh zero.
She didn't. I was right. I just had the teams mixed up. I mean, y'all gonna still, y'all not gonna let me have that one, but I.
No, we. Why would we? You read a stat.
I read it wrong.
No, no. You not only read it wrong, you read it backwards. Completely backwards.
Yeah, but I was still right, though.
No, that's not how.
Who's number one total defense in the NFL?
The Titans.
And how many wins do they have?
Context: their quarterback is brainless.
Okay? I don't give a shit.
Boy, my point was made, though.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, let's go on to Rob Thompson. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think he needs to go because I don't think he's the problem. It's definitely a players. And as far as let's just start with Alex Boehm. I think he would just say anything to get those microphones out of his face and get out of there. Now, is he a head case? Yes. But he's the only one that I really saw any improvement from last year to this year. I mean, he's making contact, with all his doubles, he was probably our most.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consistent hitter as far as being clutch.
So if you look at his numbers, Dave, before you go on, is on a trajectory the last 3 years where it is incremental improvement. I mean, his OPS has gone from 713 to 765 to 779. So they may think he's going to take even one more step, and then we have a really good hitter here. It's just, is he a head case, and can he get over this stuff?
Yeah, I think we need to get a sports therapist on the roster, actually on the staff, and just have them sit in the dugout and just, talk him down every time he starts to go off the rails. I don't think you need to get rid of Rob Thompson, but you definitely need to make changes in the lineup. And I don't know how many changes, how big of changes, but, I'm saying just get rid of the whole outfield and start over with that. And, put Trey Turner into left field, I think you had mentioned that before, Joe. Put him out there, and then
he did.
You could keep Rojas in center field, but what you do with Rojas is with his plate approach, he's just not allowed to hold the bat vertical. He can only go out there and hold it horizontal and try and get that ball to hit that bat, and that way he'd learn how to bunt, because when he got set down this year, he didn't learn how to bunt. And, that's not on top of that. Once again, on the player.
Well, and it's on Dombrowski because that's the center fielder he gave him. David, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't think we're going to do another year of the Rojas thing.
Yeah, the kind of improvement that we need from that position needs to be a little bit more. I mean, I hear you.
Yeah, and again,
things are going to change. It has to change. We can't go into this situation again and not make some drastic changes, in my opinion.
Well, that's going to be, I can't wait for Tuesday when Dombrowski speaks. I mean, that's going to be to hear what he says about, and look, he'll deflect, he'll be a GM. He's not going to say, I'm trading Alec Boehm, but just I want to get the sense of how he feels and the disappointment level he has in this baseball team after what they did in the division series here against the Mets. All right, let's grab Cody, and then we got to do a little Q&A on this Football Friday. What's up, Cody?
Hey, guys. Just a few quick points here. I think that this team really, I mean, we spoke about it before, but they lack accountability. You see it in the interviews between Rob. You see it in Alec Boehm. You see it in Trey Turner. They're like these Eeyore, like, insufferable babies, especially Alec Boehm. And I know the last caller talked about a sports psychologist, but that's a very real industry that other teams use. This guy, I'm tired of seeing a grown man look like he's about to break down in tears because he can't hit the ball and he's indecisive in the field and he can't handle the pressure. It's like, What are you talking about? You're a grown man making millions of dollars. Get it together. You know, the Kevin Long experiment, it's over. The Brandon Marsh thing, it's over. Rojas, over. I'm tired of 32-year-old quad A guys coming up to platoon. I just want a team that has a serious lineup and can work counts. And the Kevin Long thing, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of that guy. And I know people like him. And I don't think Rob's going to go anywhere. I think Rob's fine. I think he's got another year here. But I do think his bullpen management is awful. I think the Jeff Hoffman decision to keep him in, arguably as bad as Zach Wheeler in 2022, taking him out of that game.
It may have been worse because at least they had Alvarado at that point who's pitching well. Right? That was his best season, 2022. They had him for Alvarez. I kind of understood he was going for the strikeout there. Cody Hoffman had got up like three times in that game. Then he sat down for the half inning when the Phillies were up. You kind of, it's almost like you were watching an accident about to happen with the Hoffman thing, and he didn't react to it.
It was awful. And I told my friend as soon as it was happening, I said, this is the moment that people are going to remember, because you can't do that. You just can't. And it was bad bullpen management. Jeff Hoffman, you know, I love the guy, and he'll obviously probably be back next year. But I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the break, but he fell off a cliff. And it's time to accept that some of the decisions that Dombrowski makes, which is not going in at the deadline, or even the Brandon Marsh trade, we have to accept that we might have lost that trade now, especially with JT also falling off a cliff. We don't have someone to replace him, and it's clear that he's wearing down, especially offensively. This team needs to be serious if they want to win the championship that they talk all year about. And it's hard to see. It's hard to watch. It's like watching a car crash, because every year it's getting worse.
Yeah, and they're only going to decline more. I mean, that's now they may be able to still win enough games and maybe make a run, and Cody, we appreciate it, but that's – Father Time's undefeated. I mean, maybe one
this
of these –
true.
Maybe one of these guys, maybe it's Bryce because of the way he takes care of his body. Just he's been doing this since he was 5 years old. Maybe he defies aging, Hugh. Maybe he has five more good years left. But most of these guys are not. Like, you know, within a year or two, they're going to be on the other side of it and not be – as good as they have been, you know, in their past years as a Philly. All right, before we go any further with the show and all your phone calls, we do have our football picks, guest takes, and our parlay for Sunday coming up in a little bit. But, Hugh, it is a Friday. It's a football Friday. That means it's time for a little Hugh and A.
Hey, and Hugh and A is brought to you by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
All right.
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Hugh and A on 94 WIP.
I jumped on a little
you
bit.
You jumped.
Yeah. Right. We're good. Nat, can we do it now?
You guys want to go?
Yes. We're professionals, all right?
I was talking about fighting.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, no. Don't anybody try to do all that.
Okay, Hugh. I have two very important Hugh and A questions this week.
Okay, what you got?
Hugh, what was your reaction when you saw the Eagles' new tackling drill, which from my, and this is just as, I'm just a lowly high school player, was a long snapper. It looked like they ran up to each other, didn't tackle each other, and called that a tackling drill.
Yes.
What do you make of that?
I was a little surprised. You know what's funny? When I saw it, you're talking about the video,
yeah,
correct?
The video, yeah.
I added Seth.
What'd he think of it?
Then he wasn't surprised, because the week before there was the donut.
Yeah, we tackled donuts.
Yeah, we were tackling the donuts. And then on top of that, Mark McMillan chimed in.
What'd he say? He said
that this is league-wide, and then you saw other people working on tackling. The bottom line is this. Tackling has been egregious all across the NFL. It's not just our team. It's damn near every team in the NFL. And it made me remember when Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. He tried to implement rugby tackling. And they did a pretty good job of it in the way that they were tackling, bringing guys to the ground. Because a lot of times, especially with the new CBA, guys aren't – they don't want to tackle. And they don't want to be as physical as they once were. The game has suffered for that. But they're trying to get workarounds and work on tackling, because – the one thing I do recall when I played way back when is that we had so much contact that tackling was second nature. That was one of the biggest things that you learn. And as you become a professional, you kind of move away from that a little bit. So they're just trying to get back to the basics. They're trying to get guys to learn how to tackle or to tackle better without actually doing it on a day-to-day basis.
I do, and we can laugh about this one and the donuts and how the Eagles are doing things. I do feel bad for these coaches in some aspects. I think deep down they would want to have real tackling drills.
Yes.
But you said it with the CBA. They don't want to get...
Ain't nobody trying to tackle nobody,
and
man.
And you don't want to be the coach that gets your player hurt that you
in
need
tackling.
For a tackling drill. But then you said it. We watch the games, and no one tackles.
But you know what's funny? I can't recall. Now, it can happen. I'm not saying that it can't. I don't recall too many people being hurt in tackling. Because we used to do something else called tough thud. Like when the running back hits the hole, you might butt him up a little bit, but you don't take him to the ground. But you put a little pepper on him. They don't even do that anymore. Because I think people are calling, like guys are calling the NFL when they do stuff like, boss, he trying to kill us out here.
You're not going to believe. Can I have the Players Association on the phone?
Yeah.
They had us tackle.
I am telling. Guess what they had me doing today?
What's that, tackle? Aren't you a football player?
Oh, my gosh. So they only want to tackle on Sunday now. So, yeah, there's that. But I get it. They're trying to get better at it, man. And it's just funny because the last couple of weeks, Seth has been he's been on their top about that. He's been talking about that every video that I've seen about Seth. He talks about the tackling and the lack of tackling and all that other stuff. So it was just funny to see them try to change the drill in order to help these guys understand the fundamentals of tackling.
All right, one more Q&A question today. Have you ever been dumped by an agent? Because our buddy Hassan Reddick was yesterday. CAA, Creative Arts Agency, parted ways with Jets holdout pass rusher Hassan Reddick. We always hear, Hugh, the other side of this, right?
Yeah.
A player gets a new agent, dumps the agency, goes somewhere else. It's pretty rare, it feels like, where the agency says, we don't want anything to do with you anymore.
Well, I think it's a bad look for the agency. And I think that's why they did it, because you have other clients that you're potentially trying to get.
Yep.
And one of the conversations that you're going to have, especially if you're representing Hassan, is what happened with that? And so they tried to distance themselves as much as they possibly could. I think this has gotten to the point where they're looking at it and they're thinking this is not a good idea. And Hassan Reddick has dug in. I said this at the beginning of the year, Joe. It felt like when he decided to do it the way that he did it, that he made up in his mind that regardless to what happened, that he was going to stand on business in this situation. And he's doing it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that say it's stupid, and they don't understand why he's doing it. Why is he walking away from $17 million and things like that? We've seen people do crazier stuff for less. And I don't pretend to understand it, but I do understand from the perspective of being a man and believing in whatever it is that you're believing in and going that route.
Standing on business.
But if it was me, you already know me well enough to know. I'm going to go get that bread, Joe. I'm going to go get that money now.
The Hugh I know is not giving up the bread.
I'm like, what?
No, not the Hugh I know. All right.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.